Good afternoon. This is Community Focus with Gregory T. Roberts and Melvin C. Burns II. This is not Gregory T. Roberts to my left. Gregory T. has been out for extended medical leave. You all please continue to send your thoughts and prayers out to my brother. We wanted him back in the studio soon. All right. Today is Friday, the 5th of September. Let's look at our weather for the next week. My phone says that we have a high today of 63, but it feels like 59. That is not good. Weather, fall is moving in on us, folks. Tomorrow, low of 53, high of 61. Sunday, sunny, low of 51, high of 62. Monday, low of 51, high of 67. Tuesday, cloudy, low of 55, high of 69. Wednesday, we get back into the 70s, partly cloudy, low of 60, high of 72, and again, partly cloudy on Thursday, low of 58, high of 73. Don't turn that heat on yet, but fall is here. Again, welcome to 103.7. This is Community Focus. As had been my custom the last few weeks, I'd like to give you my five list, not top five new items, just five things to think about or five things that got my attention this week. Number one, if you're in the state of Michigan, we still do not yet have a state budget. Everybody's waiting. We have about 25 days to go. A lot of work needs to be done. So we're waiting for the legislature and the governor to get their heads together. Number two, the city of Muskegon Heights has a new interim city manager, Perlette Merriweather. We want to wish her congratulations and hope that she is able to provide the city some stable leadership. Number three, new economic data out in the last day or so. During the month of August, the economy added 22,000 jobs. However, unemployment still increased from 4.2% to 4.3%. The CPI is about 2.86%. Item number four, if you've been watching any national news, vaccines, our Health and Human Services Director has been in the news. I just flipped over, did a little quick research. Through August, the state of Texas has had 762 cases of the measles. Michigan, in comparison, 27 cases. To do that what you will, but I'm thankful for my vaccine. Item number five, the NFL started last night. And we actually have a game tonight from Brazil. So big NFL weekend. Hopefully you've got your selections made. You've done your drafts for your fantasy leagues, and you're ready for football. All right, that is our top five for today. Now, the reason you really come to this program is to hear our guest and get information on our community. Today, I want you to join me in welcoming to our program the principal of the Muskegon Maritime Academy, Jessica Owens. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Good. It's good to have you here. Now, for folks that don't know, first, tell people a little bit about yourself.
My name is Jessica Owens. I grew up in Jackson, Mississippi, went off to the military, served as a military police officer, and then got out, had three children, and now I'm living in Michigan, and I've made Michigan my home for life. So growing my family here and serving as the principal of Muskegon Maritime Academy.
Well, good, good. Good to have welcome to Michigan. This is, I think, your second year here in our beautiful state. Muskegon Maritime Academy, tell folks what that is.
Muskegon Maritime Academy is a public charter school in Muskegon on East Apple Avenue. It's for grade levels K through 5, but this year we are opening a GSRP 4-year-old program, and we also are opening 6th grade. We serve the core curriculum, reading, math, and science. But in addition to that, we offer STEM programming, which is robotics for our students, world language, Spanish, martial arts, and we do have interventions and programs to support growth of students.
The GSRP is?
Great Start Readiness Program. Okay, so gotcha. It's a program that the state focuses on bringing the child into the school at 4 years old, and it's free to families, and it allows the student to basically get that little head start for school a year early.
Okay. So it's a charter school here in Muskegon. How long has the Maritime Academy been there?
Maritime Academy, this is the fourth year
okay.
of it's being open.
Okay. So for folks that may not, so is it a military academy? What is the, how does the school operate?
So it is a military academy, but not in the sense that most people think it is, where okay. we're like yelling at the kids and, you know, breaking the kids down.
Right, you maggots. Draw those pictures, yeah.
It's more of a military academy, like the service academies across the U.S. for Navy, okay. Coast Guard, Army. So the goal is to provide them with strong curriculum, but it really is to build a whole child. So we're not just looking at mm-hmm. them as academic scholars. We're looking at them as academic scholars, as athletes, as community members. So we kind of use that same scoring that the service academies use okay. to bring their cadets in. And it's giving them opportunities outside of just the education piece okay. to build them socially and emotionally to be able to serve in any area they choose to.
Okay. Has that been one of the things that has attracted parents to the school?
It is. Most parents see that they can do martial arts in our program, that we provide them with interventions, tutoring free of charge, mm-hmm. before and after school care. So they're excited because we're able to, if we have a student that is struggling academically, we're able to provide them the extra supports to get them to where they need to be.
Okay. And you say it's K through eight?
It's K through five now. Okay. It'll be, we added six.
I advanced a couple of years. I'm sorry. Yes.
Well, we added six, but that's funny you say eighth because mm-hmm. I just got out of a meeting and we are talking about opening the entire middle school this year. So okay. that's still in talks. It has okay. not been approved, but that is something that's a possibility.
Okay. You know, charter schools came into being in Michigan, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. They're not going anywhere. No. State, federal education supports that we've had presidents support it. So why, you know, we've got a number of choices here in Muskegon between public and private schools. Those parents that may be listening out there, maybe they haven't made a decision, why would they want to pick Muskegon Maritime Academy versus some of the other options they have in Muskegon County?
Well, I believe, you know, Muskegon has a lot of great options out there. I think where we differ is we are focusing on building leadership skills in our mm-hmm. cadets. We focus on building respectful communication, not only just with our cadets, but also with the adults that are leading the cadets. Mm-hmm. And so in that environment, you see the whole child growing. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like getting a private school education free of charge. Okay. For students that would not typically get the private school experience.
Okay. So we're what, 2 weeks into the school year?
We are.
Yeah. So how did the fourth year start? How are things going so far?
They are going well. The students are excited. Some of the feedback I get from them in the after school program is, there's a lot of rules. And I'll say, yeah, there are a lot of rules, but you understand what the rules are. And they say, yeah. And I said, do you enjoy being there? And they do. Yeah. So they're getting these experiences. Right now, we're still in kind of like our boot camp phase, okay. where they're learning our expectations, how we address each other, how we respect each other's personal space. Mm-hmm. And then we start to move into our curriculum where they're going to get hands-on with robots and they're able to start doing the martial arts program and world language. They are still taking their placement testing and benchmark mm-hmm. testing. So we're using all those data points to show us where our cadets are so that we can get them to where they need to be.
You know, when you talk about, you know, those extra, not just extracurricular, but martial arts, computer, those kind of things, until you really understand the order and discipline of the school, it's kind of hard to do those productively until they get that, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
That's why we yeah. focus on getting the expectations down first.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have classroom management, if your kids aren't able to sit in their desk and receive the information you're putting out, it's hard to teach.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. So does the school have a dress code?
We do. So our students, for students and staff, our students wear their school uniform pants and their Muskegon Maritime shirts, and they can wear any tennis shoe color they would like this year.
Okay.
And the staff, we're in black pants, black shoes, and our Muskegon Maritime tops.
I don't know. That's, I don't know if there are many other schools that have a dress code for staff, but it kind of adds to the appearance you want to give the student, the school, with the uniformity, doesn't it?
It does. Military is about uniformity. And it, you know, I always say you want to lead by example. So if I require anyone to do something, then I like to show that I'm willing to do it myself first. So.
Okay. Okay. Do you get it? I mean, parents see that and it sounds good, but do you get any pushback from parents? Like, I know you said military academy, but I'll tell you why. I said my daughter went to a charter school years ago, and they made some change. I think it was they put out a thing about hairstyles, and there was a big parent meeting. I'm like, I don't like go somewhere else. I was there, and I kept thinking, I don't know, I'd be here. Just the rules, I go with it.
Yeah.
But there was a big discussion about some of the rules about hair color, hairstyles. So do you get any pushback from parents when they get in there and it's not quite what they thought, or it's maybe more structure than they thought it would be?
Yes, we do. Sometimes the parents, they're not, they don't want to do the uniform, or, you know, sometimes with the little girls, like they want to do all the big bows, and I totally understand it. My mom, you know, put big bows in my hair growing up. But I explained to them why we are uniformed and why we do the things that we do in the way we do it. And they normally come around and they really understand the bigger picture of why we kind of keep everyone on the same playing field. And it takes all the extra drama.
But the majority of parents, they want that. That's why they have their kids there. Now, we know you're located in Muskegon, but in your military style academy, but you still are involved and connected to the community, correct?
Yes.
So what kind of things does the school do to kind of be connected to the overall community?
So right now we are working to volunteer out in the community. We do have our Sea Cadets, and the goal is to be able to take them out in the community where there's service needed and help them provide it, because that is a part of building the whole cadet. We also go out to community events. We have sponsored some community events. We've sponsored some back to school events. Just giving back to the community we live in is what service is about. So when we talk about the military side of it, is serving the area that you are, you know, a part of. And so that's a part of what we do.
Yeah. Now, when you talk about the Sea Cadets, and I guess I should have disclosed earlier that I'm actually on the board of Maritime Academy, and you're doing a tremendous job there, and the staff's doing a tremendous job. When you talk about the Sea Cadet program, and folks should understand, it's not just, hey, come and get this nice uniform, but there's a lot of requirements to come with that.
It is. So for Sea Cadet, you have to be at least in fifth grade and 10 years old to join the National Sea Cadet Program. And with that, they have to pass a physical fitness test. So they will have a portion of their day that is for physical training. They have to pass certain areas, such as how to wear their uniform, how to shine their boots, what kind of haircut they're supposed to have for boys and for girls, how your hair is to be styled. So it's a lot of requirements that align with the United States Navy.
Okay.
And with that, the students get more opportunities. They get to train across the U.S. Or internationally. They get opportunities like one we just recently received, which is to march in the Homecoming 250 parade for the Navy this year.
Okay.
So it gives them the opportunities to see service on a more national level within our program. And then those can translate into, once they're in high school, some opportunities after graduation.
Awesome. I know, like any other school, I mean, you rely on state funding and some federal funding, but are there opportunities for people if they want to support the school or volunteer? Are there opportunities for folks to do that?
We do. We have opportunities on all levels. If they want to volunteer, we can get them onto our volunteer application, and then we can place them into different areas, whether it be for community events or within the school lunchroom, focus or playground focus. They can also donate to our school. We have some programs that are not state funded at our school, of course. Mm-hmm. Our robotics program is not state funded. Our martial arts program is not. Our Sea Cadet program is not. So that's always opportunity to give to cadets and give them more opportunities than the minimum. And then we have just opportunities to do in-kind donations, such as you want to donate uniforms or if you want to donate your time to a craft that you have, such as martial arts or fencing is what was done in the past years. Mm-hmm. Then you can, that's all welcomed.
Okay. All right. And I'll tell folks again, where the school is located and how they can get in contact with you.
We're located at 571 East Apple Avenue. That is the old Angel School building. Mm-hmm. And our phone number is 231-724-7577. We also have an email front office at muskegonmaritime.org.
Okay. Let me ask you, you're relatively new to Muskegon. I'm going to ask you two things. One, what's that experience been like, and what's the welcome been like into Muskegon? Then I want to ask you more specifically about what the experience has been like being a principal at a school here. And this is your first principal opportunity, position. Correct?
Yes.
Okay, let's talk about Muskegon first. How has that been?
I love Muskegon. I feel like
it's... And you're not obligated to say that.
No, I do. I feel like it's a small town, like, feel, but it's not small, you know? Everyone knows each other. Everyone's connected. Mm-hmm. It's really family driven. And I love that about the area. So that really keeps me motivated. It makes me feel like this is, this is a place that you can actually build generations in.
Okay. And so what is tell me this, and your experience as a principal, what's the one thing about it that has surprised you the most? Not the top one, but one of the things.
Surprised me the most is that I thought summers were for breaks, but they're not. I worked all summer. Yeah. My staff worked all summer, but we kept going with the kids all summer, and I just thought it was going to be more of a, okay, summer break, it's summertime.
Didn't quite work like that, does it?
It did not.
And what have you enjoyed the most about being the leader of the school and, having all that responsibility under you?
I've enjoyed the cadets. I think they are amazing kids. They have so many talents wrapped up inside of them. So watching them grow and, navigate life, whether it be through their challenges or through their successes, I've seen them as little human beings become more responsible and more accountable for what they want in life. And that really excites me.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. It'll be too personal, but what made you decide to go to Military Academy?
So they came and spoke with me at in high school. I was competing internationally at the time, and my counselor told them about me. And so my dad was really sick at the time, and the recruiter said, well, can you come to a summer seminar? And I came that next summer. They, they paid the way for me to come there the next summer for summer seminar. And I went and I fell in love with it. All the cadence that we sang, we marched. I just felt really excited about being a part of something so much bigger. Mm-hmm. And I went home after that, flew back home, and I looked at my dad and I said, I'm going to West Point. And he was like, okay.
did your family have a big military background or anything?
My dad was in the Navy. Okay. My grandfather was in the Army, but this not a super big, wasn't family, like generations of military,
Okay. So that whole, that atmosphere again, and I think it adds a lot to the school that you've had that experience and as a you bought into it. It's like, hey, this means something. Obviously, it's helped you in your life. Because, in African-American communities, sometimes it's this idea of, and they're not. But I think the perception is anti-military. We don't take those careers. And so, in fact, you've actually had a different experience.
Yes. It definitely paved the way for a lot of things I've done in life. Mm-hmm. And just structure. When I I grew up as, you know, a neurodivergent child that mm-hmm. most people would have thought was a hard, you know, hard mm-hmm. to deal with. Mm-hmm. But structure is just really good for me. So yeah. I love the military aspect because mm-hmm. it makes life a lot easier for yeah. me. Yeah. And we see that in our cadets, too. You know, yeah. those cadets that are considered challenging, you give them the structure and you see a different yeah. cadet standing yeah. in front of you.
We don't talk about that enough. You know, again, things swing on this pendulum, but the idea that students need some structure, they need to know we do this time and this is how we conduct ourselves. They really need that, don't they?
They do.
Yeah,
it helps them in life. It helps them organize their thoughts. And when you look at the more and more kids are considered neurodivergent in the schools. Mm-hmm. And so when you look at that, that dynamic of a child, when you give them structure, their brains don't become so jumbled mm-hmm. and they're able to use all of the, you know, different compartments of, you know, or the different uh-huh. thoughts that's running through sure. their head for mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, you know? That's so, good. So we got the school year off to a start. Not that we're trying to steal students from anybody else, but if parents listen to you today, is it possible they can still bring their students to the school? Is there like a shut off where you say, nope, you're stuck at the school you're at for the school year? Is that how it works?
No, it's not. Because we are a charter school in the area, parents can choose our academy and they can come throughout the school year. Mm-hmm. We are still in open enrollment for school, and students are still coming to our school now. What we say is the sooner the better. It's sure. because they can kind of get in on those processes and procedures before they get fully into the academic piece. Mm-hmm. So they don't feel like they're trying to learn everything all at once. It sure. can become a little overwhelming then.
Yeah. So they still have the opportunity for them to come there or at least mm-hmm. take a look and see if it's something they want for their students.
We do tours daily. And mm-hmm. so you can come in from 9 to 12 p.m. and we'll do a tour of the school and allow them to see what programs we offer and ask any questions they might have.
Okay. So we have this military academy. We have these cadets. Do the students still get to have fun?
Oh, yes. Okay. We have fun. Actually, next Monday, we'll be going on a little trip to have fun together.
Okay.
But, you know, we always say work hard, play hard.
Sure.
So we do the work in the beginning, and then we give them the opportunities to be a kid. And that's the biggest part of it.
Okay. What are some of the other things you have planned for the school that you know of so far?
So we do have our fall festival coming up on October 31st. Mm-hmm. We'll have bounce houses and trains and food for families, so they can always come out for that. And then we have our winter program, which I don't think we've locked in the date for yet, mm-hmm. but it's the second week of December.
Okay.
And so we'll be putting that information out on our social media page at Muskegon Maritime on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay. Good. So, folks, we're on the radio this afternoon with Jessica Owens, principal of Muskegon Maritime Academy. It's an education optional alternative for here in Muskegon County. Jessica, anything that I didn't ask you want to make sure that we talk about or mention about the academy?
I think you've asked all the great questions. I think our biggest thing is that we love to educate the kids. We are here for the purpose of growing our students to be whatever they want to be in life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm excited about any students that come to us because that's another opportunity and another life that we get to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. And I know sometimes, you know, again, this is the fourth year at Academy. People wonder, well, will they be there? As you said, the plans aren't to shrink, but to grow in the future, correct?
Yes. Yeah, so we will continue to grow each year. And the goal is always to drive the growth by the products that we produce, right? So mm-hmm. for the cadets, it would be making sure our cadets are performing at state level, state mm-hmm. standards, because that's what it's all about. They're able to, you know, make it through the school system, graduate, and do whatever they want to do, whether that's going into the military or going to college or going into a trade. They have that option and that opportunity.
Okay. This program used to be called Torn in Two, and we spent a lot of time talking about political things, and we just decided people got tired of that. But so many changes at the federal level. How has that affected, or I guess we're probably still trying to figure it out, but how has that affected the school at your level, or are we still trying to figure a lot of that out?
A lot of it we're still trying to figure out. We did think we were going to lose some title funding. There was some word that came down that we would. And then, you know, we just found out a week ago that that title funding was reinstated. So that's where, you know, the most worry is because that helps support our programs throughout the school and staffing. However, you know, the more we can rely on like the community support, because that's what we did last year. We were able to provide our students with quality education without all the worries of funding.
Yeah. And if by any chance the governor, any state legislators are listening, we really do need you all to get that state budget done. Not just your school, but all the schools are kind of in limbo. We have some idea. We know at some point there will be a budget, but it'd be nice if they got that done, wouldn't it?
It would be nice. Yeah. I will say yes.
just a little bit of anxiety. Yeah. Folks, this is Jessica Owens, principal of Muskegon Maritime Academy. One more time, how can they contact you in the school?
They can contact us at the phone number 231-724-7577. Or reach us by email at frontoffice@muskegonmaritime.org. And the last way is to just walk in. 571 East Apple Avenue. We're open from 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us on Community Focus. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back to talk about boxing. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Community Focus. I am Melvin Burns, flying solo here in the studios. This half of the hour, we're going to introduce you, for those of you that do not know, to the Muskegon Boxing Club. Will you join me in welcoming to this program our guest for today? We have several guests there. I'm going to ask you all, good afternoon.
How we doing?
Good. How's everybody there?
All right.
Good. I'm going to ask you all, starting with you, Mr. Watson, to introduce yourselves.
Yes, my name is Troy Watson, and I'm one of the trainers here in Muskegon Academy.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm sorry. My sound's a little low.
Okay. Yes. My name is Troy Watson, and I'm one of the trainers here at the Muskegon Rec Center.
Okay. Next.
I've been here now for, 10 years?
Okay.
So, yes.
All right.
Yeah, and I'm Tony Stone. I kind of hold things together here. I've been here for about that long. I got here in 2015, so it's been about 10 years now for me.
Okay. Next. After Tony, we'll get the kids in the ring later. But next to you, Tony, we have who?
After Tony, they're part of my kids too, so they're hopefully the next few champions. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Try to add a little bit of color to the background. And this guy over here on the left, that's Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of our favorite people, so let him introduce himself.
Okay.
Hello, I'm Jeremiah Collier, and I've been boxing for 4 years here. And it helped me grow as a young man, trying to navigate and stay out of trouble. Plus, it freed my mind, too. I really do enjoy it here.
Okay.
Just to have a clear mind that thing.
All right. And then on the end.
So I don't know what was on the overall agenda, but part of what we wanted to do today was to talk a little bit about the gym and what we do. And our upcoming event is part of our fundraising process.
Okay. So that's kind of what I have when we'll talk about the club and everything. How long has the Let's talk about some Stevens Boxing Club and how long you all have been around.
That's part of the problem with getting all of this years ago when this change is coming. So this gym's been around since about 1938. It's been in a whole lot of different locations. Sometimes a basement, sometimes a garage. At one point it was even over in the Shaw Walker building where the floors had holes in it. But we've been in continuous operation, probably one of, if not the oldest continuous operation boxing gym in the state. I'm sure there are a few out there that have some stories they can tell as well, but the best we can find, we've been around for a while. We've had a lot of champions come out of the place, and we've had a lot of kids that have come through. And that's kind of the point with these little ones in the background. You know, we start at 10 years old, but we have parents that like to bring them in, let them see what's going on and get a feel for it. Because the kids are really what this place is about. You know, it's not about building boxers as much as it is about building individuals. And boxing is just the tool that we use to do that. So from there, every year we try to do an event. It's a Kenny Lane Classic. It's a throwback to one of our founder members. And to keep around and keep alive kind of the memory of some of the boxers that have come and gone over the years. Mm-hmm. But the gym itself is really focused and geared towards helping the kids find a different way to walk. They don't have to be in trouble. They don't have to get into fights. They don't have to run around the streets. There's a place they can come to deal with some of their angst and anger. It also helps us teach them a little bit how to control some of that aggression in themselves. So that's kind of our foundational, our mission statement, as it were.
Sure. How many kids?
Heads out of bucks and put them back on shoulders.
How many kids do you have in the program currently?
Right around 40, all told. They're not here at the same time. We usually get about 10 to 12 at a time. Mm-hmm. We have a lot more of them for you to see, but it is a school day, and it's not an open day for the gyms.
Okay. So you're primarily there, and is it the evenings and weekends?
We do. We're Monday through Thursday from 5 to 7.
Okay.
Some of the guys like to get here a little early. They get some of their outside work out of the way so they don't waste gym time. And if we've got a special occasion or something going on, we have been known to open up on extra days to let the guys get some extra work.
Okay.
Being prepared is kind of a...
Yeah. So let's talk... Boy Scouts, you know? So tell us about the event coming up on the 20th.
Okay, so September 20th, we're having a show here in the park. We're actually going to do it in the pavilion, Smith-Ryerson Park.
Mm-hmm.
Gates open at 4, fights start at 5. And there's no admission. This is, as I said, our fundraiser event. We do ask for donations. There will be a couple of raffles. There'll be a couple of other games, a couple of games of chance, as it were. But it's a chance for some of the folks in the neighborhood to be able to come in and see the kids fight and actually see a fight show. You know, a lot of our kids are in a situation where it's kind of cost prohibitive for their family to go to see a show. Most events are $20 a head to get in, and if you've got five kids, you're already over $100 just to watch one of them fight. So we want this to be a kind of a community event as well, where you come in, see a couple of good fights, see what your kids are doing, see what some of the other kids are doing, get a bag of popcorn.
Yeah. Can you guys, for people who only know boxing through what they've seen on TV, explain to them a little bit what amateur boxing is and how it may be different than professional boxing they've seen on TV?
Well, do you want to say something, Troy?
Professional boxing is a lot faster than amateur boxing. Amateur boxing is guys just learning the basics mainly. To learning the basics of boxing, you know, how to put your hands together, where to have your stance at, how to maneuver around the ring, throwing your jab, throwing right hand, coming back, you know. It's just learning the basics of boxing mostly, you know. And that's what I pretty much try to work with the kids with, is the basics. You know, I believe everything else they'll gain in time when they keep boxing.
Yeah.
So my goal is to bring them in and show them how to, you know, how to step right, how to move your feet right, how to get your hands up in the right position, put your chin down in the right position.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that's pretty much that's what it is for me, you know.
Yeah. Well, the pace and the tempo are a little different also. When you start getting into, when you take the step from amateur to professional, it's a whole new world for you. You've learned a lot of the things in amateurs, but number one, they don't hit as hard generally.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the consistent skill set to be able to put their punches together. That's when they make that transition to professional, when they learn that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see a few more mistakes. You're actually, in a lot of cases, some of the amateur fights are infinitely more entertaining because of the errors that they make. You see a guy getting hit that shouldn't be hit at all. You see a guy going down that shouldn't even think about going down.
Mm-hmm.
You see another kid standing there looking at him wondering what happened.
Yeah.
So you don't really get that in the pros.
Yeah.
There's also a hunger that goes with it. The amateurs don't really have that need and hunger that you see in a pro that goes on. That's part of what drives them to take that step. The kids are learning to box. It's something they want to do. It's an exciting sport. It's not like any other sport they're going to do. More kids get hurt playing football than get hurt boxing.
Yeah.
So all of that factoring in, an amateur show is generally entertaining. You go to a professional show looking for a knockout.
Yeah. I mean,
that's really how it works.
You make a good point there about the safety precautions, even matching kids up with experience to make sure young people aren't hurt in those events.
Well, and that's one of the reasons that we're part of the USA Sports Network. Mm-hmm. Ones that set the rules and the guidelines for all amateur sports. We're USA Boxing, and there's USA Soccer and USA Football. And being a part of that organization helps keep things in line. So if our kids go to fight at another gym or in another show, they're going to a sanctioned event where the coaches are trained, the coaches are certified, there are ring doctors there to take care of things, their coaches are there. The whole process is a little tighter than you're going to see with the pros. And that's to get the kids there so they can get through it. They wear headgear. They use 16-ounce gloves. Most boxers are 8-ounce. So a little bit of difference there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For folks who don't know, this is the third annual Kenny Lane Boxing Classic. For folks who may not know, can you tell the community who Kenny Lane is? Or was, I should say. Or who he is?
Well, about the best lightweight that's ever walked the planet. That's the best way to put it.
Eight-time world champion?
Yeah, he's hit world champion several times. But I think all in all, the biggest impact that he made was in coming here
and
getting this going for the kids. Kenny fought some of the best people on the planet. He's one of the few guys that actually knocked Tommy Hearns down in Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was fast, he was quick, he was thorough, and he was kind of the epitome of what a boxer is. He trained hard, he fought hard, and he shared what he knew with other people to try to bring them along to the same place.
Kids are special.
Yeah.
Really focused on kids, getting them involved and bringing them and getting them out of bad situations.
And he fixed TVs too.
I was going to say, if you didn't know him from the TV repair business, you might know him from boxing. That would make me seem pretty old.
No, he was there. He went with Ralph Twining as well. Jack Crowell was one of the trainers, promoters that went with him. Took those guys all over the world fighting. So, again, that's back to the legacy of this gym. Right? Yeah. The labels here.
Yeah.
And so we go from a long time ago to current. There's a lot of people that pass through. We're kind of what you would call the definition of old school boxing.
Okay.
You know, we don't have a lot of fancy equipment. We've got a couple of bags and a ring. And those are the things that we work on. We don't use weight machines. We don't use all the other gadgets that you see running around. We go back to focus on the basics, focus on fitness, focus on health, and focus on getting your brain in a place where you can make all of it work.
Well, let me ask all of you this question. And you know, in the world with video games and all these things, what's the appeal for young people to participate in boxing today? You know, they got a stimulus from everything. And we notice there's kind of a pulse trying to get kids out of the house and active. What is it about boxing that gets their interest?
Physical contact, physical work.
Being able to protect yourself, knowing that you're able to protect yourself, I guess. That's probably a big thing.
It's a contact sport. That's pretty much.
Well, yeah, it's a contact sport, and it's a sport that you take with you whether you're actually doing it or not.
Yes.
You know, when people talk about things, and using your term, they play video games, they play football, they play basketball, they play baseball. You don't play boxing. You know, and I think that's part of the difference too.
Yeah.
It's a hands-on video game.
Uh-huh.
And I think that has a lot to do with it. We have some young girls come through for the same reason. They want to do something that's physical, something that's athletic, and something that there's a return from. You don't get a return from a video game. Mm-hmm. You get some momentary satisfaction. I hit a new level. But when you're boxing, even when you're training, even when you're sparring, even when you're just doing your shadow boxing, there's a purpose to it and a goal to achieve. With the video game, there's not really a purpose. You have a target. I have to get to this level, but you depend on other things and other cheats and different codes and different ways of doing it. Where with boxing, you have to physically do the deed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a lot to do with it too. Some come for the aggression, but more often than not, the kids that we have coming in are here because they're aggressive kids. They're here because they can't really focus on their day-to-day. They don't necessarily fit in with this crowd. They don't fit in with that crowd.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are bullied, and that's mm-hmm. another thing that brings them here. You know, you've got your kid that lives in the basement, lives on video games all day. When he goes to school, he's the one that gets pushed around and gets his milk took. You know, those kids come in.
Yeah.
Biggest thing they learn at the end of the day is, and I've seen this over the years, I've been involved in martial arts for over 60 years.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that you get from that is the kids don't fight nearly as much. Once they learn that they don't have to prove anything and they know that they have the skill to take care of it, there's less impetus to actually do it. They don't want to fight. They don't need to fight. You know, a lot of that problem and aggression comes from being belittled, being pushed down, being pushed to a point and not being certain how you can handle it. These kids that come in here when they leave, the vast majority of them, that's not something that they even think about anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not taught it. They're not pushed into situations where they have to fight. They can turn and walk away and not worry about what somebody thinks because they know what they're capable of doing. And I think that makes most of the difference. So back to your question, what gets them away from video games? I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah. Do you get most students come on their own? Do you get parents to bring them in and say they need this? How do you get most of the students to come in?
We're kind of chuckling because an awful lot of our kids are brought here by grandmothers.
Is that right?
It's the grandmother. It's occasionally a mother. We very rarely have a father bringing their child in.
Mm.
Right? And in a couple of cases, we've got fathers that come with their sons.
Okay.
So we have them working out together. And we even have every now and then we look outside and there's a car with some blue lights and they're dropping off somebody to have a chat with us.
Okay.
We work with a few of the other organizations around the city for at-risk kids and a place for them to go and something for them to do to try to help deal with some of the challenges they're having in school. So we put as much emphasis on their schoolwork here as we do the boxing.
Okay.
If you know, if we've got a kid that's not doing so well in a particular subject, one of the things we try to do is to match them up with someone here that knows that particular subject better. We'll have them work in the back room. Instead of getting their work out, they'll go sit down and work on homework. And if they're not doing their work, if they're not doing their things in school to keep those up, they actually can end up getting suspended from here for not doing that.
Okay.
So that's another one of the areas of responsibility that we work towards, being responsible for yourself and what you're doing mm-hmm. and what consequences are.
Okay.
We talk a lot about consequences here.
Okay. Good. Good. So let's tell folks a little bit more about the event. It's September the 20th. At what time?
Gates open at 4. The show starts at 5.
And
so first fights will be, we say 5 o'clock, historically, probably closer to 5:30. But I didn't say that. Fights start at 5.
Yeah. And how many fights do you expect to have that day?
We're probably going to have 8. We try to keep it a little lower as opposed to getting into the 12 or 14 fights. Because we are doing it in the park, it is outside. As we start getting on in the evening, I kind of like to have everybody be able to go home by dark.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to keep it down to about 8 good fights. We may have 10, we may have 12, but the plan is 8.
Okay. Now,
I'll go from there. So we have 4 fights, an intermission, 4 more fights, and then home.
Now the poster says it's a fundraising event and it says donations. So let's explain to people, you know, that well, this does take anything takes money nowadays. And so we want to really encourage people. And I'm glad to have you guys on and talk about the things you're doing, you know, to help young people in these different areas in their life. But let's we want to encourage people to be generous in their donations and talk about some of the things that you do need to pay for as a boxing club.
Well, and that's part of our situation. You know, we're fortunate in that the city helps us to an extent, and it's a pretty big extent. They help provide us with the space.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't pay for things like travel, new equipment, gauze, tape, hand wraps, mouth guards. You know, there's a list that's about 10 miles long of all the things it takes to get this going.
Mm-hmm.
We took a step this year. We set up a GoFundMe for Muskegon Boxing Club. And we have posters all over town that have a QR code on them. So if you're driving past one, hit it with your camera. You can send me some money while you're going down the road.
Okay. You know, you call this the Kenny Lane Classic, but, you know, for people that don't know, Muskegon has a pretty good history of boxing. Again, you talk about this club going back, you know, several decades. I know Mr. Watson knows me and my family, but Muskegon has quite a history of boxing, and it's good to see, you know, the Muskegon Bicycle Club alive and active. So folks that don't, maybe tell folks a little bit about some of that history here in Muskegon.
Well, that's kind of our whole point. We keep our gym looking more old school. We haven't gotten into all the updated things. We keep nostalgia as part of it, because if we lose sight of our history and the city's history with it, then we lose sight of who we are.
Yeah.
You know, boxing has been a part of Muskegon for a long time, and it took a nap for a while.
Yes.
You know, and us and a few others are trying to do what we can to get that love for boxing and that excitement about boxing back into the community. One of the reasons we do our show and don't charge an admission for it. It's one of those things to try to wake up some more people to what we do here. And the more they can see that, the more we're integrated into the city with the gym, the more cohesion there is between all of it. You know, we want a symbiotic relationship with the city. We don't want to just exist here. Mm-hmm. This is home. This is where the kids come from. And they need to be able to look back and say, yeah, we come from a boxing town. We come from a boxing community. And that's why we box. That's why we are who we are and how we are. So we tend to do an awful lot of pushing, and there's not a day that goes by in here that someone isn't talking about what happened back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a lot of the old boxers stop in all the time. Rocky Smith, Ralph Twining, and it's the Jack Crowell. These guys that have been around forever are also back in here. You know, they come in, the kids get to meet them, they get to talk to some of the guys that have been down the road, the successes, the failures, and the pitfalls.
Mm-hmm.
And the boxing career has a lot of pitfalls. If you learn how to miss them, you can get somewhere. And it just takes a little doing to make sure the kids are pointed in the right way.
Yeah, when you talk about some of the old boxers that we had come from Muskegon, you know, Phil Baldwin, he was a great boxer, you know.
Mm-hmm. He went to the Olympics with Ali.
Went to the Olympics with Ali. Your father was.
Yeah.
Burns, you know?
Yeah, I got a picture. Well, he and Kenny Lane, I don't know, maybe early 50s, late 40s, I don't know. But I got a picture of him and Kenny Lane. They look like high schoolers almost.
Yeah. The Foxes, you know. Muskegon is a great boxing town. You know, the history behind Muskegon is, you know, there's some fight that's come out of Muskegon, you know. You know, Oscar German, you know, yes. And, you know. Some great fighters, you know.
Yes.
So
our target is to try to get more great fighters to keep coming out of here.
Yes.
That's kind of why we need your help and why we have the Kenny Lane Classic. Yeah. Because we need the help to keep that going.
Right. So Lee, he's doing well. You know, he's still into it now. You know,
Who was that?
Right. So Lee.
Okay.
Yes, Ryan Selene. He's doing well. I think I believe he has a fight coming up pretty soon now.
Okay.
You know, we have some great fighters that has come out of Muskegon, you know. You know, Ralph Twining.
Yes.
Ralph was a great softball.
Yes.
Ralph was a great softball. You know, great softball, you know.
Another one of those guys that had a shot.
Yeah, he had a shot, yeah. And you know, Kenny Lane, he fought well. You know, he was number one contender for some years. However, Kenny Lane, he was the number one contender for some years. He, you know, great softball, real smart fighter, real smart fighter.
Not too many people at 50 jump back in the ring to show that they still.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So that's who we are.
Okay.
Anytime you talk about any of those old timers, you talk about anything. Look at me saying old timer. when you get to that, you can't help but see how much of that the Muskegon has had, and how much this particular gym has actually had. And we really want to see that continue on. That's part of the reason for doing this. We were getting to a point where we were almost gone. I mean, there just were not funds. And the way this works, you know, us coaches, we've been writing checks for a lot of years,
mm-hmm.
you know, to keep this thing going. It's been coming out of our personal pockets as well.
Yeah.
And we're not talking bad about that. I mean,
it's
the way things work. What we're trying to do now is to stop reaching in our pocket and start reaching in yours a little bit.
Yeah. And so this classic is a good opportunity for Muskegon to show some love to you guys for all the work you put in, your time, your own money. It's a chance for a lot of those parents who love to see their kids and who drop their kids off, bring the rest of your family out, see what your kids have been learning, and provide some support. Not just a good job, but we need some real dollars. So we're hoping that this event on the 20th will give you a great opportunity to do that. Look, I appreciate you all. And we had a comment come in from Gregory Roberts. He said, thank you for your service. I know a lot of us in the community, not just the sport of boxing, but the emphasis that you all have on the students as a whole. You know, books are important. The skills you learn to deal with life. You know, one of the things you hear the most from everybody in the court system is the young people in this way to deal with anger. And the fact that you're teaching them a skill that helps them with that is a tremendous asset. So I know, you certainly could use more volunteers, but I think for more young people who maybe their parents recognize that they don't have a good way to deal with anger and frustration, that this is a tremendous opportunity to get to learn some skills, whether they become a professional boxer, but to help them the rest of their life. And so I really appreciate the time that you all are putting in. I know you love the sport, but appreciate the time that you all are putting in.
Well, we appreciate you guys helping us get the word out so people know. I mean, that's important.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of our biggest things is trying not to get too big as far as our attendance goes. We want to keep space for the kids.
Sure.
But if people don't know that we're here and what we do, it's kind of hard to do that as well. So we appreciate you guys as well. If it weren't for opportunities like this, people wouldn't hear about us.
Yeah. Folks, it's the third annual Kenny Lang Boxing Classic. It's going to be at Smith Ryerson Park, 550 Wood Street. The gates open at 4 p.m. Fight start 5 p.m.-ish. This is a fundraising event for the boxing club. Let's come out and support it, Muskegon. Let's give these folks some generous donations. They are a nonprofit organization, but that doesn't mean that the people who spend time coaching and supporting your kids should have to come out of their pocket. So I'm hoping it's a great day and you guys have a tremendous turnout. I want to thank you all for joining us here on Community Focus, and God bless you and the work you're doing, okay?
Thank you.
All right. All right, folks, that's pretty much wrapping up our time for today. As my brother Gregory T. likes to say, it doesn't really cost you much to go out and be a blessing to somebody else. Have a nice fall weekend coming up. Take out a piece of paper, make you a list. Think of somebody who you can do something for without absolutely anything you expect in return. And I promise you, I guarantee you, you're still going to get something back from being a blessing to other people. That's how we become a community. That's how we survive as a people. This is 103.7 WUVS, The Beat, Community Focus. Be blessed. We'll see you next week.